Welcome back to the Attitude Series podcast. This is Jared, your host, and we are going to wrap up part two with Sully Litchfield. So sit back, grab yourself a cup of coffee or tea, and enjoy the final episode with Sully.
I decided to book a trip to go to Europe. I'd saved up some money, and my elder sister actually came with me for the first month, and then I did a bit on my own. And that was sort of like, yeah, I just sort of stopped drinking, stopped going out as much. I was working in retail, but still really lost because I never finished my first degree. But I thought, no, just go overseas. And just before that, I actually went overseas, I met Craig, who is actually my daughter's father.
Yep.
And we started dating. He had a son at the time who was only one, or no, two, sorry. And he was just a very quiet, sort of modest guy, played soccer and very safe, you know, complete contrast to some of the people I'd been with. And we started dating. But then I thought, no, I'm still going to go overseas. So went overseas, came back, sort of went through that awkward, like, are we together, not together, stage, and then ended up together.
How old were you at this point?
23.
Yeah.
Yeah. And at the end of that year, I decided you need to go back to uni and pursue something you're really passionate about. Through all of these years, I always loved running. So as a kid, I was good at little athletics. And then even in year 11 and 12, even though I didn't compete or anything anymore, I would still just get up and go for a run or like get up and skip for 30 minutes just as mental health more than anything. And so I decided to go and study something about exercise and about health. I was interested in nutrition. And so that's when I went and did exercise science and nutrition, and I would commute to Lismore. I stayed living in Yamba. That's where Craig lived and his family. And through that degree, I made some great friends, and it gave me a sense of identity and purpose again. And I did change my life again.
Yep.
Entered a new chapter. And Craig and I, we had Arabella when I was 25, so almost 26, and like that wasn't planned, but you know, the best thing for sure that ever happened to
me.
We
see Arabella, we see her on Instagram, yep. Or we see her on Facebook, and
yeah.
And she's taken after mom too. She's obviously a talented runner.
She's more of a talent. She likes running, but she loves dancing, and I grew up dancing as well. But you know, running was probably up there a little bit ahead of dancing, and she's the other way around. But yeah.
Fantastic. So Arabella comes on the scene, right?
Yeah.
And then that obviously probably created a whole nother shift in your responsibilities.
Yes.
Or what you want to do, or the fact that you're a role model.
Yes.
For this little being that's just shown up on the planet.
Yep.
Definitely. Is that right?
That's right. And I actually took to parenting really naturally, surprisingly, because I was like, oh gosh, I've got no idea. But
is anything going to be better than what you experienced yourself?
Yeah.
Right? Maybe if you just say the opposite of maybe what I experienced, and then I'm gonna come out a shining star on the other side.
Well, that's definitely a motivation. But she was a very easy baby. I was incredibly lucky, you know, just that I was that annoying mum that had a kid that slept through from really early on, and I could take her anywhere. I still had a bit of my degree to finish. I would take her with me. She would sit in my lap in the little baby pyjama in the back of lectures. Like, I mean, she was a dream, and she was just so adaptable, could sleep anywhere, all that stuff. So I was very lucky. Someone was looking after me. it was an amazing first year with her. So much so that Craig and I decided to get married. he asked me to marry him when she was about one or so, and we got married. And we decided to move to Brisbane. His son is 6 years older than Arabella and was living up here with his mum, and we wanted to be closer, and I'd finished my degree and he had a work offer, he's in real estate, and I knew I would have more opportunity up here. So then began my Brisbane chapter of
life. There you go. And Brisbane has been a good chapter for you.
10 years this year.
Is it? Congratulations being here. You're a Brisbanite now.
Yes. Yeah. Well, so never.
So you still go for the Blues, but this is maroon country.
Mm.
Right. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, we're not hanging out at the next Origin party, by the way.
No.
So one of the things that we had talked about too, which I think is important, and it seems to be for, you know, people out there when they want to become successful or they attach themselves, there's mentors or people that they are highly influenced by. Who have been some of your greatest mentors or people that have influenced your chapters as they keep unraveling?
Yeah, I feel like there's been many lives rolled into one, but as an adolescent, the best mentors I had came from the church I went to. Some of those women there were just so nurturing and kind, and just took me in and showed me what love looked like.
Yeah.
And then some of the people within the youth group showed me what friendship looked like. And through high school, my closest friends came from that youth group. And you know, that was where I felt free to be me, and it, like, a bit more accepted and a bit more confident. But yeah, that my first true mentors came from the youth group and the church, and I'll be forever grateful for some of those women. Like, I don't know who I'd be without them.
Do you still keep in contact with any of those people?
I actually reconnected on Facebook with one of them just last year, and I was so thrilled that I found her, or she found me. I can't remember. Her name's Ali, and yeah, little would she know how much she influenced me positively. She used to meet up with me once a week for a couple of years and just have me over for afternoon tea. And then there were a couple of others as well that did the same, like just accepted me, and I didn't accept me. So to have people that did was just, and such good natured people.
Well, there you go. So when we first met, I have this vision. I met you through Nicole.
Yes.
Right. And I remember, and I can't even remember where the house is, but I just remember being up on the top floor, meeting you for the first time. And you had Arabelle with you, and you at the same time, you were, I think you might have been recently divorced. So this is how many years back?
Yeah.
And just going through a whole nother chapter in your life, which you're probably trying to unravel, and then go, I got some new strategies. I'm working on something new, you know, didn't work out, didn't pan out, but now, you know, like, never ever quitting. That's I guess there's something, you know, you're not a quitter.
I'm not a quitter. Yeah. And through all the things I've lived through, I built quite a strength and resilience, and better understanding of who I am and what I will and won't put up with, because, particularly through my 20s and early 30s, I just always placed myself underneath people, that everyone is automatically more important and better than me. I'm not worthy. Like, I've always had this sense of, I'm not worthy of love. I'm not worthy of good people. And I have to earn that friendship, or I have to earn that relationship and give whatever they need. And that's led me to make some really poor choices in my life. And I look back and just think, far out, I can't believe I did that, or allowed that person to use me so much, or whatever it might be. But through it all, I think I've had some level of intelligence to kind of navigate my way through that in a very twisted, unconventional way, but I've got there eventually. And, you know, I can finally say, like, I am worthy and I am enough. And I, you know, this is who I am. I have been married 3 times and that won't define me. And if someone else wants to define me by that or judge me for however many partners I've had or whatever, then let them, like, at the end of the day. But I defined myself by that. I was ashamed of that right up until probably 2 years ago. You know, I couldn't shake those, that sense of I'm such a failure, you know, like I...
Well, you have a website. You have a website. It's called In Sully's Shoes, right? And and you've gone out there and you've shared what you're sharing today.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you're putting it out there, as you say, very unapologetically, you know, you. And I think that's fantastic because there's that sense of vulnerability by being able to do that. And people that are not your true friends, it doesn't really matter. They can go by the wayside. But people that are, they're still going to be there for you. They're, you know, same thing with family as well.
Yeah, it filters them out. Yeah.
Yeah, totally. And you know what? Third time lucky.
Yes. Yeah.
John Egan. Nice man, huh?
Yeah.
Always give him a hug every time we see him.
He's a good egg.
Yeah. So and you know, so obviously he's bounced into your life, which has brought a couple other joys. Yeah, literally bounced in, you know. You guys met obviously through the running scene.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And that's been another tribe. That's been another group that you've attached onto as well.
Yeah, more in more recent years. So, like I said earlier, you know, I've always run and kept a level of fitness because it's just been really good for my mental health more than anything. But after Arabella was born, I decided to do a fun run, and I did like the 10K at Gold Coast when she was about 7 months old. Had no idea, like didn't have a watch, was just like, let's go for a run. This is fun. And finished. And was like, oh, is that a good time? I don't know. And a few friends were like, oh, that's a good time. Maybe you should like run more. And I got a bit of a bug and did some half marathons after that. And my first marathon in 2009 at Gold Coast, and still didn't run with a watch. Still had no idea really, just sort of ran.
But dynamic results, great results.
Yeah,
I know you're chasing.
Which came from joining a club, I would say.
Yeah. And it's great because everybody's got to have something that they're involved with.
Yeah.
You know, and I know you're still chasing that sub 3 hour.
Yes.
And you're teetering on it, right? It's just,
it's
almost there.
Yeah. I think, one thing I've learned with running is like, so mental. I think the last couple of years, I've been through a lot of change, and John and I have taken on a lot. We coach now as well. And our kids are at a really busy age. And it, as much as we still train, you've got to emotionally be mentally be ready to take on a challenge such as a sub 3 marathon. And I've always sort of felt like I've been half there in my training in the last sort of couple of years because I've been spreading myself so thin. So I've put in a lot, but I think, you know, I've learned and accepted that you're going to have to take some things out of your life if you want to achieve something like that. Because it's not just about physically getting out there and doing the training. You've got to believe it. You've got to sleep more. You've got to, you know what I'm talking about.
I totally hear you. I mean, you know, whether I spoke about it last time or not on our podcast was, New Year's Eve, Nick and I made a resolution, between now, cause we're signed up to do 100K.
Yes.
Run, and we decided to go alcohol free between now and May 18th.
Mm-hmm.
So it's what, 20 days, no booze in the system.
Well done.
So that's as you get older, you know this. You get older, you don't recover as fast. So it is tough. It is seriously tough. So in terms of running for this year, 2019, mm-hmm. is there anything exciting that you got on the books that you?
Well, I'm actually enjoying a little bit of a change at the moment, doing a bit of track stuff, just working on my speed.
Yeah.
John and I have taken a few things off our plate this year. We're sharing our coaching with a couple of other coaches a bit more. freeing up our time a bit. So I actually feel a little bit mentally more ready to like sink my teeth in and give it a good red hot go this year, as opposed to the last couple of years. I feel pretty fired up with running at the moment.
Right. Yeah. I like hearing that. Yeah. So there's a bit of passion.
There's a bit of like oomph in me. And it's quite funny because I have no idea what I'm training for. Like I'm just training, but I'm loving training. So I guess at the moment my focus is just to keep loving training, build my base. I'll probably focus more on the 10 and half marathon distance in the first half of the year. And if I can get those times down to where I want them and to what I know I need them to be at to do a sub three, then I might give a sub three crack at the end of the year. So I just.
And would that be in Melbourne?
Well, funnily enough, probably. I have a bit of a soft spot for Melbourne.
Right. How many times Melbourne?
This year will be my eighth one in Melbourne in a row. So I have this sort of silly little thing where I want to do 10 in a row in Melbourne consecutively. I just love the vibe down there. Obviously, it's where John and I began our love story. But even before that, I loved it. I do love Melbourne as a city. I love that race. I feel like the whole city comes behind the marathon and sort of shuts shop and gets out there on the streets and cheers you on.
And it's a fast course? When you say fast course, it's a relatively flat course?
It's funny. It's actually nowhere near as flat as Gold Coast or Sunny Coast. But because the scenery changes a lot, I feel like it goes quicker. And I actually think having a few little undulations and stuff gives your legs a bit of a rest at different points. It's certainly a little bit more downhill the first half, and the second half a little bit more uphill, which creates a little bit of a challenge. But,
But the weather... It's
the
good.
Weather is
that's
except last year,
right?
That was horrendous.
What happened last year?
It was really hot,
okay,
like crazy hot and windy. So it was last year was not pleasant, but normally it's great.
Fantastic, yeah. I haven't done it yet. Would I like to do that one? That would be fun. I'm sure it would be fun.
Come and do my 10th with me.
Okay, all right. And did we get that on the podcast? Yeah, come and do the 10th one. That might be one where Nick and I train for and see how we go. Just use the foundation of what we're currently doing right now and show up. And
that's it.
Yeah, that would be awesome. So, Sully, you're coaching, you're doing the training, you've got your blog out there as well. You've got ways in which people can contact you, reach out. And by the way, thank you for sharing your story today. And how do you know, like the people that be listening, how do they get in contact with you? How can they reach out and say, I'd like to be able to pick up either some of your plans, your programs, your coaching, your training? How do I reach out to Sully?
Well, they can go to info@sollysshoes.com.
Nice. info@sollysshoes.
Which is my email. Yeah. Or, you know, they can find me on Instagram. I'm just Solly_Litchfield. Yeah, they're the two best ways, email or through Insta or the website, which is sollysshoes.com. So one of those means can reach out.
Awesome. Are you also on Instagram too, or are you on any of that stuff? Do people follow you?
People follow me on Insta, which is Solly_Litchfield.
Yeah.
Yeah, and Facebook and
Strava. Strava to find out what she's up to.
Crazy session I've done.
Awesome. Well, I just want to say thank you for coming in. It's been a real treat. Appreciate you coming onto the Attitude series. Is there anything that you'd like to wrap up with and share with our wider audience, and any piece of advice moving forward into the future?
Piece of advice. Don't apologize for who you are, I guess. You know, that's my motto. In the last sort of 12 months is just own the shoes you walk in, hence why I created Sully's Shoes. I'm like, that's where it came from, really, is just like, this is who I am, these are my stories, and I can either be a victim to my stories and be, oh, woe is me, it wasn't smooth, it was tough, and I've made some kind of questionable decisions along the way, or I can say, hey, these are my stories, like, there are other people out there that can go, oh, you know, I relate to that. So I'm not alone. And what did she do to help her get where she is and come out of that and be stronger? And, you know, we can always turn the chapters around. And if I look at my life, I often look back on some of the chapters, even from a few years ago, and I don't even relate to that girl anymore. But when you're a mum...
Which is great.
Yeah, right? It is. I guess that shows that we're learning and we're growing, and I just keep... I hope that keeps happening. And I've got, you know, a great man by my side, you know, and the right man by my side to help me on that journey, and that's lovely. But I also know... I can do it on my own as well. And I think it's important in life to know who you are enough to be able to stand on your own two shoes and not be reliant on anybody. It's great to have somebody, but don't let them define you, because otherwise your happiness is going to be dependent on other people. And I learned that the hard way. But being a mum definitely helps me stay on track and keep me in check, because my number one thing in life is to be a good role model to her and make her feel loved.
Awesome. Really. Awesome. Thank you, Sully. And in 2020, Melbourne, we'll see you there.
Yes. Oh, that's my 40th as well. So this
sounds like a party.
It's going to be a party.